We live in times when saying thank you has become rare, and yet few virtues are more attractive than sustaining an attitude of gratitude. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us of Paul's admonition to be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. As we begin, let's be clear. Paul's counsel was far more than a calculated mandate. Paul understood that a spirit of gratitude is not only a bouquet of blessing that we pass along to the recipient. Thankfulness is like medicine for the ailing sinner who gives it.
Now, why are we so ungrateful? Why are our times marked by such ingratitude, as Paul mentions in Romans and in 2 Timothy and in so many other places? At the risk of being simplistic in my analysis, I think a major reason is pride. Proud people don't say thank you. They don't think thank you. Thank you for the little things. Thank you for the unexpected things. Paul writes to his friends in Thessalonica, I'm turning there for the rest of my time with you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He begins at verse 12 by reminding us to be grateful for, in this case, in our context, a body of people who pour themselves into your lives. And that would be the faculty of this school. So let's have them in mind as I punch out this 12th verse with you. We request of you, brothers and sisters, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Appreciate them. He goes on. And that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Isn't that great? Don't let this semester pass without pausing with each one of your profs to look them in the eye, specifically naming what particular thing stands out in that particular teacher that has meant much to you. Express your appreciation. I am still thanking my profs. And most of them aren't left. But those who are, it is not uncommon when I see them to thank them again for teaching me what they taught me, which was more than an ability to handle the biblical text. It was a touch. I'm kind of like the difference between a piano player and a pianist. It's touch. Great profs help you with touch in lives and touch with the text. And so let's just make the concentric circles go a little broader, and let's include now our family members. Look at the end of verse 13. Live in peace with each other. We urge you. Here's another one of those little staccato moments. We urge you, admonish the unruly. You have to do that sometime in a family. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Be patient with everyone. And then the circle broadens. With friends and with others in life. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. And then begins a real brief statement. Rejoice always. And here's another one. Pray without ceasing. Pray continually, constantly. Prayer on your heart, prayer on your lips. Prayer for specific individuals, specific needs. And here we are. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This has reference to every circumstance. Every circumstance. There's not one that he doesn't include. In your circumstances today, be thankful, grateful. Thanksgiving puts steel in our bones. It reminds us of our enviable, magnificent heritage. It carries us back with grateful nostalgia to that first bitter winter at Plymouth, where less than half of those early pilgrims survived. It speaks in clear, crisp tones, reminding us of the important terms like courage and integrity, determination and discipline, duty and honor and vigilance, and sacrifice and godliness. Cynics of our day would call those words corny and naive. I call them powerful and essential for our survival. It was those truths our forefathers declared to be self-evident and worthy of our best efforts. It was those very truths that motivated our Minutemen in a Revolutionary War before we ever had a Constitution, to leave home and family and the love of all they held dear to face the Redcoats against insuperable odds. Surrendering to tyrants and terrorists of any kind of enemy was unthinkable for our great country then and now. And let's never forget that. When Thanksgiving arrived, I was able to hear again in the back of my mind the great voices from the halls of our nation's structures. Those being dead still speak. Voices like Washington and Adams and Franklin and Jefferson and Henry and Lincoln and Grant and Lee and Roosevelt, and then the battlefield, MacArthur and Eisenhower, and in the presidency, Reagan, and in the ranks of life, Martin Luther King Jr. And on I can name them. Strong words of assurance and secure confidence. They challenge us to trim off the fat of indolence and passivity and compromise, to rid ourselves of pettiness and prejudice, and the scourge and stigma of hatred and strife that tear our country apart. Thanksgiving arrived without flair or fanfare and left the same way. In its characteristic, understated manner, that quiet, unheralded day slipped by and will be forgotten for another year, unless we sustain it with a spirit of gratitude. It slides in between jack-o'-lanterns and jingle bells, arrives without any applause, expecting nothing but grateful hearts. I was thumbing through some things from Thanksgiving in my files and came across a piece I'd never read before. And the title, it was Yellow with Age, almost brought it to show it to you. It was an old Irma Bombeck piece called The Holiday Without Any of the Hoopla, where she, as only she could do it. She said, among other things, it's one of the few times a family assembles for no reason whatever. The will isn't being read. No one is getting married. No one's celebrating a birthday. There's no anniversary. No one died. There are no speeches to give. No entertainment. No one has to dress up in a costume. Thanksgiving is like a kiss from your husband or wife for no reason. It's like a phone call from one of your kids who don't want anything but just to talk and then to close by saying, I love you. It's comparable to a smile on a baby's face as he sleeps. Oh, that was a good line. There's no parallel with Thanksgiving. Maybe the only thing that's analogous to it is the family. No brilliant flashes light up the sky, bright colors that dazzle. Families aren't Halloween. There are no masks to hide behind. They all know us too well for pretense. If you get uppity over some recent success, families have a way of putting it all in perspective by reminding you that you wet the bed at church camp, which I thought was a good line. Families aren't Christmas either. Relationships aren't based on designer gift wrapping or mistletoe. We push the pause button and we simply give thanks. Unfortunately, just once a year, on purpose. And the rest is left for the voluntary giving of thanks. For little things and big things. For a son that gets off drugs. Or a daughter that comes off the street. For healing of cancer. For at least a reprieve in the pain. For a new baby, and 1,000 other things I could name. When we come to Thanksgiving, we're able to look up, look around, and look within. And all of that fits, beginning with the word thank you. So here we go. Looking up, thank you, Lord, for your sovereign control over our lives. All the details and every circumstance. Thank you. Thank you that none of it is accidental, that all of it will work together for good. Thank you for your holy character and for your standard in spite of our selfishness and sinfulness. Thank you for your word that shines like a lamp to clean up our minds, our thoughts, and to guide our steps. Thank you for your love that warms our hearts when they would otherwise grow cold, and for holding us close to you and to others when we would otherwise seek isolation. Thank you for your compassion in all our sorrows and your mercy in all our messes. And we have a lot of both. So looking up, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Looking around, thank you, Lord, for our wonderful nation. So blessed, so bountiful, so beautiful. Such a pleasure to be living in it. Thank you for our school. Look at this. You're a student here. Look at that. Think about that. They accepted you. They said yes. They're willing to teach you and to love you in the process and to pray for you and not forget you when you're gone. I can tell you that's true. Thank you for our family, so valuable, so affirming, so accepting, so forgiving. So understanding. Thank you for the joy of watching children mature and stub their toes and make mistakes and grow through them and ultimately do a better job at parenting than we did. Thank you for our kids. Thank you for the comfort of our home, for clothing that's warm in the winter and comfortable to wear. For good food to eat, more than we need, and clean water to drink in abundance. Thank you for friends who encourage us and enrich our lives every day. Every day. I have friends who write me, send me emails, send me notes. They are simply there for me. Always. Always. regardless. And as several of them say to me, you need something, you call me anytime. Forget the time. I'll be there as soon as I can crank up my car and get there. That's a friend. I got a circle of them. I don't deserve one of them. Thank you for our calling, which enables us to make a living and to reach true fulfillment. And now looking within, thank you, Lord, for the gift of good health, hidden treasures so easily overlooked, for eyes that can see and ears that can hear and tongues that can articulate words. Last Sunday, I had a man come up who's had a stroke. 2 months ago, he could speak better than any of us, most likely. That's changed. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to speak. For the wide range of stimulation brought on by taste and touch. How seldom we thank them for that. We can taste our food. We can touch our babies and grandbabies. Thank you for hands and fingers to work and to write with and legs to walk and run with. For a sense of humor that brightens our day and brings healing to our souls. And I could go on and on. These and 1,000 other benefits come our way every day. Every day. Because of our gracious God. The holiday is correctly named Thanksgiving, not Thanksgiving. We keep enough things for ourselves. Let's get better at giving things. Just give it away. You don't need to give it to somebody. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Love that verse. Sacrifice of praise. That means when it's hard to praise, and we praise him. I close with a true story that leads to a hymn you won't know. It's okay. Travel back to me to the year 1636. In the little German village of Eilenburg, Saxony, where a man named Martin Rinkert, R-I-N-K-A-R-T, Lutheran pastor, was ministering day and night to a congregation broken by grief and sorrow. Times were at their most treacherous. The 30 Years' War was raging through Germany. The relentless Swedish army had encompassed the little village's gate. Inside the walls, there was nothing but plague and famine, fear and death. 800 homes had been destroyed, and people were dying in increasing numbers. There was a tremendous strain on all the pastors in that village who spent every bit of their strength preaching the truth and caring for the sick, mainly burying the dead. Many of the pastors perished while in the process of serving others in their parish. It was estimated that Martin Rinkert alone buried 5,000 of his own parishioners in 1 year. Some days he conducted as many as 15 funerals, some days more than that. Do the math. Finally, the encroaching army demanded a huge ransom. It was Martin Rinkert who left the safety of his home and the city, walked through the gates, and began to negotiate with the enemy, hostile, dreadful, brutal enemy that they were. But the suffering came to a halt thanks to his wisdom and patience and grace. Though his parish was ravaged by death and economic disaster, He knew there could be no healing without thanksgiving. Crucial line in the story. There could be no healing without thanksgiving. So he sat down and wrote out this table grace for his children, that they might learn in everything to give thanks. This became, to his surprise, a hymn for the survivors of Eilenburg, Saxony. They sang it together, and before too many years, it began to be known and sung around Europe and ultimately around the world. Now thank we all our God with heart and hand and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices. Who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom heaven and earth adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. Amen. 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 Oh God, how thankful we are. How thankful we are for you and all you keep doing for us, including what you withhold, what you deny. Thank you for what you take as well as for what you give us. To you, you alone able to guard us from stumbling and to present us faultless before your presence with great joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Everybody said, Amen.
Chuck Swindoll's subject today is sustaining an attitude of gratitude, and this is Insight for Living. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Chuck's brand new series was originally presented to seminary students in training for full-time ministry, and there's much more teaching ahead, so please be sure to join us for the next program. In the event you missed any portion of this study, remember you can easily catch up by listening to the programs at insight.org. You can also copy and paste the link in order to share Chuck's message with a friend. At Insight for Living Ministries, we understand that a growing segment of our audience consists of those who serve a local flock as the shepherd, or those who volunteer in some capacity of church leadership. And we take great delight in knowing that this daily program helps equip and cultivate godly leaders. To that end, we appreciate your contribution to this cause. As someone who gives voluntary donations, you're helping us strengthen the local church. And as I say thank you, I'm thinking specifically of our monthly companions. These are people who come alongside us with consistent monthly gifts. And if you're among them, thanks for giving, sometimes sacrificially, so others can benefit from Chuck's Bible teaching just as you have. To join their ranks, we invite you to become a monthly companion today. Signing up is simple, and you choose the amount that's best for you. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or it may be easier to follow the simple instructions at insight.org/monthly-companion. The number once again, if you're listening in the U.S., 1-800-772-8888. Or to give a donation online, go to insight.org. Step onto the ancient theatrical stage where biblical history was written. Experience The Land and the Book with Chuck Swindoll, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
Feel the cool breezes sweep across the Sea of Galilee. Walk along the banks of the Jordan. Take time to pause and reflect. Picture Jesus being baptized in this very river.
Tours leave for Israel every day. You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour where you benefit from Chuck Swindoll's insight.
This isn't a mere fact-finding trip. Insight for Living makes every effort to save time for your journey to be filled with adventure and yet punctuated with laughter and seasoned with spiritual moments you'll treasure for the rest of your life.
Call 888-447-0444.
You know, you'll never read your Bible the same way. Come with Cynthia and me to the land of Israel.
The dates are March 1st through 12th, 2020. Call 888-447-0444 or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Chuck Swindoll continues his brand new series called Straight Talk for Seminary Students Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Sustaining an Attitude of Gratitude, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.